2. I'm your host, Becky, and today's date is June 13th, 2014. Today's segments include In Progress, Finished Objects, Up Next, Stash Dash, On the Nightstand, and Stash Enhancement. So let's get going, shall we? So thank you for everyone who listened to my first episode and is returning to listen to the second. And if you're a new listener, I appreciate you giving me a chance, and hopefully I can make it into your rotation. As I mentioned, today is the 13th, and it is Friday. So it is Friday the 13th. And I also read that we're supposed to have a full moon. So hopefully I have an uneventful evening tonight. It is a little bit past my usual bedtime. It is a Friday night, so I'm treating myself. And also I had to wait until my son went to bed so that I could actually get some private time to record this episode. Last time I spoke, I think I told you all that my husband and son Emmett were in Alabama on vacation. And I was waiting for them to get home because their vacation had been extended due to family medical issues. So they were only supposed to go for a week, and they came back after a little, around 2 weeks. So I was very happy to see them. They got home on a Tuesday, and then 2 days into daycare, my son got sick. And so we thought that he just wasn't feeling good, had a cold. Then he broke out in a rash. And it turns out he had hand, foot, and mouth disease. And unfortunately, my husband got it too. So the first weekend they were home, I didn't get a lot of knitting done because Emmett was sick. And, you know, he wanted his mama. And then the next weekend, I also didn't get a lot of knitting done because then Michael got sick. And he actually got it pretty bad. He couldn't walk, so I was on baby duty all weekend then as well, and I felt so bad for Michael. It was terrible. So anyway, let's get into the knitting talk. Sorry about that, I got interrupted for just a second. Anyway, let's get onto the knitting. So, in progress, I have way too many things going right now. But I'll just talk about the ones that I've been actively working on. First up is my another pair of vanilla socks. These are good train knitting, so I cast on for another pair of socks using Colinette Jitterbug in Colorway 100, which isn't very descriptive, but it's some blues and purples, light blues and purples, and a little bit of pink thrown in. These ones, I'm using DPN's size 0 with 64 stitches, and I'm going to do another pair of afterthought heels because I really liked how quick that went. And these ones are going to be shorties, like little short ones, not as long as I usually make my socks because the fabric is knitting up pretty dense, and so I thought I'd make a pair of shorty socks. And then if I had enough yarn left over, I would make another pair of shorty socks. So maybe I'll get four pairs
Sorry,
out of one.
Sorry, that meant to say two pairs of yarn.
I have small feet.
Four socks total.
That might be doable because I wear a 6.5, 7. And I put in the waist yarn for the afterthought heel on the first sock. And so I'm about 2.5, almost 3 inches into the foot, and I knit a 4.5 inch foot before I do my toe. So those are going along really nicely. And I also, since I last recorded, cast on a baby blanket. I'm knitting the Chevron baby blanket by Espace Tricot. It's a free pattern on Ravelry. The Ravelry pattern calls for 5 yarn colors, I guess. I'm actually just using 2 colors because I'm trying to use stash yarn. So I am using Madeline Tosh DK Merino, or Merino DK, in the kelp colorway, which is like a blue-green, but it's more green than blue. And then I'm using some leftover yarn in Madeline Tosh Merino GK in Calligraphy, which is a nice neutral gray kind of white colorway. I used this yarn to make Allegheny, which is a tunic, dress slash tunic, and I don't really have good pictures on my project page because I never really got around to taking any photos, so I'll have to do that when I get a chance. It's a little bit warm to do that now, but I will have to set myself a little reminder. And so this is for a friend, the baby blanket. She is due at the end of August, and she's not finding out what she's going to have, so I am thinking that these two colors will work. They work well together. It looks really good, and it's neutral enough for either baby of either sex. I actually have a lot of babies that I need to knit for, and so I was planning on knitting two of these, but I just tried to order some yarn from Webs, and they said, oh, we're out of one of the colors that you want, and we're not going to restock. So I cancelled my order, and I haven't decided on what I'm going to do with that. In hibernation right now is Vodka Lemonade, which hasn't gotten any love in a while, and I'm going to have to pick that up and get going on that. And Carson, my Carson Shaw by Romy Hill, is also hibernating right now. And I knit a cast on for Brickless by Martina Bem, using the Yowza What a Skein in the Nightlights colorway. This is for the hashtag Bemalong of the Knitmore Girls, and I just cast that on yesterday, and I'm already up to repeat 3 of the pattern, I believe, so it's going really nicely, nice and quick. I have a couple of other patterns I want to knit too, but so far I'm just starting with this Brickless. So that's it for In Progress. Up next is Finished Objects, which is always exciting. I have 2 finished objects this week to talk about. The first is my very first pair of Afterthought Heel Socks, which was just a vanilla sock pattern. And then I followed the pattern on Ravelry by Laura Linneman. I used Lorna's Laces Shepherd Sock in the Sheridan colorway, which is why I call them my Dr. Cooper socks, because I love Big Bang Theory, and I named them after Sheridan Cooper. And these went so fast. I am so happy with them. I think Afterthought Heel will probably be my go-to heel. They fit me really well. When I do a heel flap and gusset, I always end up making the heel flap too long. And then they're a little bit big and baggy around the heel flap. So I think Afterthought Heel might work really well for me. And they were knit with my circular needle, Magic Loop. And I think they're sort of size 1.5. So they're not quite size 1s, not quite size 2. To the knit pick, so they sort of fall in between those two sizes. And so now that I finished those, they're free for another pair of socks. I'm not sure what's going on next, but plenty of possibilities. And the second thing I've finished is Flax by Tin Can Knits. I use Neighborhood Fiber Company Studio Worsted, and I believe it is the Cooper Circle colorway. I lost the ball band a long time ago, so I don't know where it is. I actually wound this yarn last year for a project that just didn't work out, and so I used it to make flax in the 1 to 2 year size for a winter sweater for Emmett, and it knit up really nicely. The stitch definition is beautiful. It's a lovely red, so he may wear it in some Christmas pictures this year. And I used size 8s. I got a little larger gauge using size 8s. So I actually kept the 8s and did kind of an in-between using the stitch counts from both the 6 to 12 month size and the 1 to 2 year size. I wanted more length, and I know it's going to fit Emmett because he's just a little thing. He's still in 9 month clothes, even though he's actually 14 months old. But he's kind of long, so I wanted it to, I can just roll up the sleeves if I need to for now. And it's knit up nice and thick, a pretty substantial sweater, so I think it'll do a good job of keeping him warm. So that pattern was by Tin Can Knits, and it's a free pattern on Ravelry, and it's, I believe, part of the Learn to Knit series. And it's so good because it goes from 0 to 3 months, I believe, all the way to 4XL. So I actually might make myself a sweater too. It's a very basic sweater, mostly stockinette, but then there is some garter stitch detail on the yoke down the sleeve, so it made it a little bit, you know, a bit interesting. And of course it was a baby sweater, so it maybe took me a week to knit, and maybe that's why I'm having trouble with vodka lemonade, because it's an adult sweater and the yoke is taking forever, or what seems like to be forever for me. And so that's my finished objects for the last couple of weeks, and that has contributed 700 yards or thereabouts to hashtag Stash Dash 2014. And if you don't know about Stash Dash, it could be a bit of a mouthful there, right? You should check out the Knit Girls Ravelry group. Well, check out their video podcast first, but also check out their Ravelry group for the information about Stash Dash. Basically, you challenge yourself from around the end of May until early August to knit 5,000 k's worth of yarn, which ends up being about 5,400 yards of yarn. And it's anything can be considered stash. You know, if you bought it today, bought it into the house, it's stash. So I'm hoping to use up some yarn I've had for a while. The Lorna's Laces that I made my socks out of, I've had that for a really long time, and I have a ton more of it, so I want to actually use that up probably in vanilla socks. So yeah, check out the Stash Dash and see if you're interested. I didn't actually have a lot of works in progress, and one of the rules is if you've got like a, you know, 1,000 yard project in progress when you start Stash Dash and you finish it during Stash Dash, you count all of that yardage. So I know people have, like, you know, knocked out 1,000 yards because they had a blanket or something they were working on. Well, I was not that lucky. And so I need to get some projects, and I want to knit everything. I have some serious knitting mojo recently, which is good, but it also means I've been a little bit, you know, all over the place with my knitting, because I just want to keep casting on. So I decided I was going to have to focus a little bit more and not really set goals, because I don't want to make this into a chore, but sort of set myself up so that, you know, I do things like finish the yoke increases for Vodka Lemonade before I cast on anything else. Sort of that kind of thing. And, you know, pick up Carson again and knit another section before I cast on something else, because I have a bunch of other stuff that I want to knit, which brings me to my up next segment. Last time I think I talked about the Angry Sheep cardigan, and I was going to swatch for that. Well, I did swatch, and I decided I didn't like my colorways. It was a little bit too contrasting for me. I was going to use Madeline Tosh Merino Light in Fathom, which is a dark, deep blue and merino light in Bloomsbury, which is a light blue. Well, it contrasted too much, and it actually turned out also that Fathom is mo-light, which is mohair. So it's wouldn't be a big deal, but it's just not what I wanted to use for the sweater. So I'm going to swatch using the main color being still merino light, but the main color being a kale, which is a browny color, and then use Bloomsbury for the contrasting stripes, and then I have some other yarn in my stash that I can use for the actual sheep. So that will work, I think, but I have to swatch for that. I want that to be my Rhinebeck sweater. A couple of friends and I are going to Rhinebeck this year for the first time, so it should be exciting. So I've got a little bit of time on that, so I'm not panicking just yet. I also want to swatch for the, let me look at my notes, the Vacity, which is a really good summer project, I think. It's a really simple, oversized, loose-fitting tee in a lightweight yarn, and it's meant to be worn with positive, about 4 inches of positive E, so I'm going to knit the size 40. And it's knit in two pieces, front and back, and then you just seam it up. But I'm actually going to knit it in the round because I do not want to do any more purling than absolutely necessary. So that's also in the queue. So I think if I get a little bit more done on Vodka Lemonade, I can pick up the Vacity, which is by Diana Walla, Walla. And I bought the pattern, so I'm all ready to go. And I'm going to use Merino Light for that as well. I have a bunch of Merino Light in my stash, so that's the plan. And then finally, I also just wound a skein of Blue Moon Fiber Arts Socks That Rocks, medium weight, in the Eggplanted colorway, which is, if you couldn't guess by the name, it's purples and browns, and it's a lot of purples, though. It's really pretty, and I've had it in my stash for a while as well, and I could probably go look in Ravelry and see when I put it in there, but for a while there, when we were going to Sheep and Wool, a friend of mine and I would go really, really early and line up at the Fold booth and get us some Socks That Rock, and so that is going to be for a shawl, and I think it's going to be the Metallurgy shawl. Let me look that up on Ravelry, because I don't know who is the creator of that shawl. But the plan is to knit a shawl for the Yarniacs Colors of Pantone Colors of Fall knit along. Check out their group and check out the colors. Pantone puts out the color of fall, as I understand it, the colors for fall every year. And yeah, so this is kind of a muted palette this year, but I think my Eggplanted yarn fits perfectly, and it will go really well with my winter coat. So that's what's kind of up next and ready to go, and that'll add some yardage to my stash dash. So I'm sorry, I am cross stitching actually while recording, and I just had to find my place before I kept going any further. And okay, so I looked up that pattern, and I can't find it in Ravelry for my Colors of Falls. It's Metallurgy or Malurgy. I will link it in the show notes. I have it somewhere. I had like three patterns that I was thinking about, and I finally settled on that one. So I want to do another little segment called On the Nightstand, where I talk about books I've read. Honestly, I don't know how often this segment will make its appearance in the podcast, because I don't really get a lot of time to read anymore, and when I have free time, my choice is knitting or reading, and I usually go with knitting. and I haven't quite been converted to a full-on audiobook listener. I've listened to a couple of audiobooks, and I mean, I like it, but it's just not my favorite way to enjoy a story. I love the experience of holding a book in my hand, and I use a Kindle because it's a technological wonder that allows me to carry so many books around at once. But that's just not the same. So I have a Kindle. I usually switch between my Kindle and actual books. And now I've been throwing in a audiobook here and there for when my podcasts aren't, or I've listened to all the podcasts that I listen to, because it seems like everyone updates their podcast at once, and I listen to them on the train, because you've got to remember, guys, I spend 4 hours a day on the train, so I go through all my podcasts in a week. So the audiobooks are starting to fill in there a little bit. So I just read Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. I picked it up at Barnes & Noble near my work, and it's not a very thick book. And let me tell you, I could not put this thing down. I haven't read an actual book in a long time. So this is about, let me see, like, well, that's the extract. So it was about 250 pages, a little bit more than 250 pages. And I'll read you the back of the book. Fresh from a brief stay at a psych hospital, reporter Camilla Preeker faces a troubling assignment. She must return to her tiny hometown to cover the murders of two preteen girls. For years, Camille has hardly spoken to her neurotic, hypochondriac mother or to the half-sister she barely knows, a beautiful 13-year-old with an eerie grip on the town. Now, installed in her old bedroom in her family's Victorian mansion, Camille finds herself identifying with the young victims a bit too strongly. Dogged by her own demons, she must unravel the psychological puzzle of her own past if she wants to get the story and survive this homecoming. So, I read this book in about 4 hours, which was about a couple of train rides. And what I liked, I think, is that, first off, I'm always sucked in by a whodunit. So I had to finish because I wanted to know who the murderer was. And then just by the... I liked Camille. She's flawed. Very, very flawed. Not that great at her job. But she's likable. Sometimes a lot of people that have... Or a lot of characters that have bad histories and backgrounds and that kind of thing, they're just horrible people. And you understand that, yeah, okay, you had a bad childhood or you had a bad experience, but that doesn't mean you need to be mean and horrible for the rest of your life. And Camille, in this book, you know, she makes some bad decisions, but she doesn't pity herself. She doesn't expect pity or sympathy from other people. She is getting on with life as best she can. She's still struggling, and, you know, she's like the rest of us. She's a human being. And then her family is just weird. Now, I will say this. I kind of thought I knew who the murderer was at the beginning. But, excuse me, I have to have some water because I'm still getting over my cold. But, as I was saying, I found the story really good. And I wanted to read it to get to the end to see if I was on the right track or how they ended the story. And I just... You know, there's some secondary characters in there that really helped move things along, and I just really liked it. And I'd heard about Gillian Flynn from the Two Knit Lit Chicks podcast. I think they talked about Gone Girl in a few episodes back. They may have even talked about this one at some point, but I only recently started listening. So this was good, and it kind of reinvigorated my love of reading, because I've always been a reader. I have too many books, if that is even such a thing, and a lot in my to-be-read pile. But like I said, I usually choose knitting over reading these days. And yeah, so that is on the nightstand. Got a couple of other books in the works, and I will see if they will ever get finished and talked about on the podcast. Finally, I have a little stash enhancement segment. I won something. I'm so excited. I participated in Mad May, which was the Madeline Tosh lovers group on Ravelry. Has Mad May every year, and I posted my finished vitamin D in the thread. And I guess through random number generator, I won something. I won a pattern by what is her name? By Ankerstrick. That's Ankerstrick. And so I could choose any one of her published patterns on Ravelry. And I had a hard time because there was a couple there I want. I think she is the creator of the Antler cardigan, which a lot of people are knitting. I could be wrong, but if she is, I'll link to it in my show notes. She let me pick a pattern, so I picked a Bonaparte, which is a nice long sleeve tunic. I originally was gonna I picked this because I was gonna use some of my stash yarn. I have some Madeline Toss vintage that I think would be perfect for this, but I don't have enough yardage, so I'm not sure what yarn I will use. I may look for some yarn at Rhinebeck, but it's lovely tunic length kind of sweater thing, nice for lazing around in the house. So, or even running errands with a pair of leggings and cute boots. I think it'll look really good once I get around to knitting it. And then I also bought a cute project bag with pink. It's pink with little piggies on it. Instagram has been a serious enabler for me because I have suddenly become familiar with indie dyers and Etsy shops that I probably wouldn't have been privy to before. And so I bought a lovely bag from Love Sock Wool, and it is really nice. Big, it is holding my chevron baby blanket right now, which is two balls of yarn and about eight rows of the chevron pattern done. So it can hold a fair amount, and I shoved a bunch of other yarn in there to take to work with me. I'm not sure why, but I had my chevron blanket, my vanilla socks, and then the ball of yarn for Brickless just in there earlier this week. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to knit all of this on the train. Why am I taking it? But just in case. So that is a super cute bag. And so that has been my stash enhancement. No yarn, but I did just order some, so maybe next time when I record. And I am going to say goodnight to you all now. I've been talking for a little while, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find me on Ravelry as Westerly Whimsies. You can email me at westerlywhimsies@gmail.com. We have a Ravelry group, a Wrapped in Wool podcast group on Ravelry. This should go to iTunes now, if I think I've set everything up correctly. And you can also find me on Instagram as Knit Girl, but that is KN1TGIRL. And I will speak to you soon. Have a great evening.